All right, so just we were finishing up the Yud Gimel Yesodos last week, and Jay had a good question, and I was thinking about the question myself. Just didn't really focus on it, just sort of crossed my mind, but you brought it out, you asked me after Shir, so it's a good question. Questions like this. We said that the Rambam is spending all this time on the Yud Gimel Yesodos because the Mishnah says, "Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba," right? And the Rambam is taking from that a certain premise that Olam Haba is something that's a merit that you merit for a certain amount of for perfection, for having a certain grasp on reality, for having certain proper beliefs, right? And therefore, if the Mishnah says "Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba," it means to say, just for being a Yisrael, you have a Chelek Olam Haba. It must mean, therefore, that to be a Yisrael means that you have a certain set of beliefs. In other words, if being a Yisrael means you get Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is only possible for a person who has certain correct ideas, okay, so then we say if two things equal the same thing, they equal each other, right? So therefore, A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. So if Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba, and Olam Haba means that you have a certain amount of correct ideas, then it means to be a Jew you have to have certain minimal correct ideas. Is that clear? Then we can say, because otherwise it would imply that it doesn't make sense to say just because you happen to be born Jewish, that's what the Mishnah means, anyone who happens to be born Jewish gets a Chelek Olam Haba? That can't be. That's not the Rambam's understanding of Olam Haba. So therefore, but it does say every Yisrael has a chelek. So therefore, it must mean that there's a certain minimal shear of belief and ideas for a person to even be called a Yisrael. And that's what the Mishnah is telling you. Now, when you have that proper level of knowledge, then you're considered a Yisrael, and you have a chelek olam haba because of that very knowledge that you have, that very set of proper ideas that you have. Correct? And that's what the Rambam says. At the end, he says, V'kasher yihiyu kayamim l'adam kol ha-yesodos halalu. When a person has all of these yesodos established in him, ve'emunaso bahem amitas, and he believes in them in a true way, harehu nichnas b'chal Yisrael. It's exactly what the Rambam is trying to explain, right? It appears on the Mishnah, like we said last time. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek olam haba. So he says, when you have these ideas, then you are considered the Yisrael. V'chovo le'ovo v'lachmo olo v'chol ma shetziva Hashem osanu zeh al zeh. Everything that we now have an obligation to love him and to have pity on him. And all of these things that were commanded upon each other. Min ha'ava v'ha'achva. V'afilu osa ma sheyochol lios min ha'veros. Even if he does something wrong. Machmas ta'avoso v'skavos yitzro hora. Because of some desire, harehu ne'anash lefi godol merio, he's punished according to the greatness of his rebellion. V'yesh lo chelek, v'hu mi poshe Yisrael. Okay, so people, good people, can sin, and it happens, and therefore he'll have a punishment, but he'll have a chelek. V'kasher yifak fake adam biyisod me'ilu hayisodos, harei ze yotza min haklal. And when a person is doubtful about these things, now he's yotzei min haklal, v'kofer b'ikar, v'nikra min, v'apikaris, v'kotzis b'netiyos. He's considered a min, an apikaris, someone who goes against the fundamentals. He's an apostate. V'chova l'sanoso l'hashmido v'olav hu omer halom mesanecha Hashem esne. Okay, fine. But what's the basic idea here? That the Rambam sounds, from the Mishnah, that simply being a Yisrael, which means having this basic knowledge of the Yisodos, gives you a chelek olam haba. Okay, so Jay asked that there's a Mishnah in the end of Makos. It's the last Mishnah in Makos. And the Mishnah says as follows. Here we go. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashia Omer, Rotzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lizkos Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to benefit Yisrael, to give them a merit. Mufikach hirbo lehen Torah u'mitzvos. Therefore he made for them many mitzvos. He gave them a lot of Torah and mitzvos. Shenem Hashem chofetz l'man tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. So, yagdil Torah v'yadir. So he's saying that giving a lot of Torah is a chesed of Hashem to give us a zechus. Okay, that's a very high level way to look at things, right? So the Rambam's like this: Miyisodos ha'amuna b'Torah she'im kiyem ha'odam mitzvah mi'sholosh esrei v'sheish meos mitzvos karoy ukahogen. That it's a yisod in our amuna, from the yisodos of our amuna, from the foundations of our belief in Torah, is that if a person fulfills a mitzvah from the 613 mitzvos, karoy ukahogen, properly, okay, v'lo shotaf ima matara mimataros ha'olam hazeh klal, and when he does that mitzvah, he doesn't join with it any other goal from this world at all. In other words, there's no ulterior motive, right? Most of the time, or a lot of the times, you know, a person does a mitzvah. They might be doing it, you know, they know it's the right thing to do, but there's also maybe a side thing that's pushing a peer pressure or a social phenomenon. Or they want to feel good about themselves, whatever it is. So if a person does a mitzvah of Taryag mitzvos, Kiroi Ukahogan, properly, without any ulterior motive, okay? Elo osa lishma me ahava kemoshe biarti. He does it completely lishma. Completely lishma. Out of ahava, like I explained. Harehu zoche bo l'chayi ha'olam haba. He's zoche in that to olam haba. L'chein omar Rabbi Chananya. That's why Rabbi Chananya said, ki machmas ribuy ha-mitzvos. What's the zechus of having many mitzvos? Since there are many mitzvos, I efsha shelo yaseh ha-odam achas b'choch yimei chayav b'shlemus. Since there are so many mitzvos, it's not possible, unless you really try, right? It's not possible that a person will not do one mitzvah in all of his life bishlemus, completely. V'yizke lehasharos hanefesh b'oso hamaisa. And because of that action, he'll be zoche to hasharos hanefesh. That's the continuance of his soul, meaning olam haba. So, yeah, umima shemora al hayisod hazeh. And what proves this? What teaches you? What teaches us this yisod? She'elas Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. The question of this Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion. Ma ani lechayi olam haba. He was dying on his deathbed. He asked. Said, Am I a person who's zochet olam haba? Ma ani lechay olam haba? The Anahu ha'oneh, the one who answered, said, Klum bol yodcha maisa, did you ever do anything? Klomer, ha'im nizdamin l'cho asiyas mitzvah k'roi, did you ever do a mitzvah properly? On a lo, sh'nizdam n'lo mitzvah tzedakah b'tachlis ha'shleimus ha'efshar. He says, yeah, one time I did mitzvah, I did tzedakah like you've never seen. Right? I completely had a lishma moment. Okay. V'zocha bo l'chayel ha'mabo. And from that, he was zochah t'chayel ha'mabo. So the question is, was he not a Yisrael? Was he not a Yisrael? We just got through saying, "Call Yisrael, Yeshlem Chelak Olam Haba." So, without the story, you could say the Rambam is just saying extra, extra, extra. But the story is even harder. I mean, he says, "Ma ani l'chayel Olam Haba." So why didn't he just say, "Let's go over the Ikarim again and"? How do you explain this? I mean, how do you understand this? That on the one hand, the Mishnah says, "Call Yisrael, Yeshlem Chelak Olam Haba," just by being a Yisrael, it seems. And on the other hand, the Rambam says that what does it mean? Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lizkos Es Yisrael Lefikach Hirbol Hen Torah Mitzvos. Yeah. And the Rambam says, and what does that mean? That you'll have one mitzvah properly, and therefore you'll be zocheh to chayel haba. And what shows you is the mice over there. Yeah. So what do you say? What do you say over here? I mean, we should understand this Mishnah well. We've done this, I think, in the past. Not the first time we came across this, but what do you say? Someone want to try to answer the question? Jay, you were trying to answer the question. Let me just offer you an outlandish shot, okay? It's just a defense mechanism. I don't know. I'm a little bit hesitant to propose this, but you tell me what you think. It'll be just at least a starting point. What do you think? If I would ask you the difference. Is there a difference between saying Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba and saying that you have that you're Zoche L'Olam Haba? Who said that? Yes.
Chelek is a part.
Good.
Zoche is a given.
Okay.
So I tell you, you'll have a car, or you'll have a part of a car, or two very different things. If there is a Olam Haba, there is one singular thing. And if you're zochah to that, then you get it all.
Well, let's not be greedy about this. I mean, I can be zochah, and you can be zochah, you know? Are you saying only one person can be zochah or something? And then we're all in trouble. Then it's like a...
I'll sit in a room and enjoy ourselves.
Right.
But if I tell you only get a chelik of the room,
good.
We're no longer in the same room. Well, we can be in the same room, but you're limited to your...
So let's understand what the Rambam means over here. First. What is the idea of saying that you did one mitzvah lishma, me'ava, and that's what is... that's the yisod hamuna. That through that he's zocher bo l'chayel ha'mabo. Yeah, so what do we mean? What does it mean to do something l'shmo and me'ava? So that means something we've spent a lot of time discussing over the years. What does it mean to do something l'shmo and me'ava? The Rambam has a lot of Rambams on that, right? So what does that mean basically? Yeah, what do you say?
Means you do it because it's real.
Right?
That's what is to be done.
That is because that is reality. In other words, when a person recognizes that what he is, a person recognizes what man really is, and that man is a being of that has seichel, and that's what differentiates man from the rest of the universe, right? It's his ability to perceive reality. And to the degree that the person really perceives reality, that's what makes him a person. Right? I mean, if a person were to live his life without his knowledge, without his intelligence, he would be living an animal life. Right? Yeah, very person were to just go into the jungle and live like without perceiving any realities. And there are people who attempt to do that. They think that's going to make them happy, but that's really a distortion of what a human life is. It's just trying to become a smart animal, right? But the person is the differentiation between a person and an animal is the intellectual life of man, the ruchni, the part of the person that perceives reality. And to the degree that the person engages that element of himself, that's really his neshama. And the degree that he realizes that his guf is just a means and his true existence is in his intellect. And the neshama is only actualized when it perceives reality. That is the activity of the soul. What is the activity of the soul? The activity of our neshama, of our soul, is its ability to perceive the abstract ideas. Okay? And what is the ultimate reality that the human being can perceive? That's the reality of God. That's the reality of Hashem. So when a person recognizes that he's only truly existing as a human, when he's engaged in the element of him that makes him human, which is his mind, his thoughts, his ideas, his perception of reality, right? When he realizes that that's what he is, and he realizes that to the degree that he's involved in that existence, then he's really existing like a person. And that the highest level of ideas are the ideas about the deepest source of reality. I mean, when we talk about the intellect, we mean to say that you can. What does it mean to be smart? What does it mean to have to use your intellect? It means you don't look at an animal. Perceives physical things. That's basically where the interaction is. Intelligence means you recognize the deeper cause behind what you're seeing, right? And the deepest cause of, and that's the true reality. You perceive with your mind the realities behind what you see with your senses. Right? That's the whole methodology of the intellect, and that was really the derech of Avram Avinu, right? That's the way the Rambam has in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that the pagans would worship the sun because it gives them, you know, that's like an immediate cause, and they would worship different things because they are fixated on the tangible and the immediate. But Avraham, with his intellect, says, no, there must be something behind all of this. There must be a deeper source behind all of this. That's really uncovering a deeper reality. So that engagement in that type of a reality, for a person like that, is the greatest joy, because he realizes by doing that, he's actually giving himself truer existence. And as we were discussing a couple weeks ago, when we talk about love, the experience of love, that's always tied to existence. The person really is always in love mainly with themselves. That's a selfish, there's no way to escape that. And you should want to give yourself the best. You should want to be you should want to ensure that you're living the best possible life. And to say that a person feels like the Ram says you have to have an avas Hashem, it means to say that you recognize that by being engaged in the ideas of Hashem and by living the life of Torah, that really does the best for you. That really gives you, as a nefesh, as a human, That really gives you your proper existence. So putting it simply, to do a mitzvah me'ahava and lishma means to say you recognize what you are, you recognize what a person truly is, and you recognize the value and the benefit that there really is in engaging in the ideas and the actions of Torah. Now, what do the actions of Torah have to do with what I'm talking about? Because that is exactly what the whole system of Torah is about. The whole system of Torah is a limud. It's a way of teaching and helping you with your actions to engage this part of your mind. I mean, when we do a Maisa HaMitzvah of like a Hanochas Tefillin, so we did the last year, the Rashba explains that there are concepts associated with it, there are ideas that are involved in it. If a person just puts it on like a box and straps, that's not really any type of a mitzvah lishma. A true mitzvah would be if a person recognizes that there are ideas of Kriya Shema and that you want to associate them and you want to remind yourself every morning that they should be in your head, they should be tied to you, they should qualify you, whatever it is. The nature of man is that even a smart man, even a person involved in these ideas, still benefits from engaging physically in actions that emphasize and that represent those ideas. And that apparently is what this the Rambam over here is explaining. He's saying that what's his position over here? That even if the person has a certain set of ideas, let's take a regular Jew, he's saying, he might have basic ideas that are true. He might have the basic knowledge. But what really is going to give him the zechus of chayei olam haba? He says, it's when he does an action and he expresses with his action the reality that he, the reality of the world of the truth of ideas, the world of the truth of mitzvos and Torah, and he has to put into action those ideas. Well, let's get a little, because a person is not just a seichel, a person is also a guf. So when he does a maisa mitzvah lishma, that means to say he's really mashlim the existence of the person, because now he's doing an action, he's living a life in actuality that is in line with a certain perception of truth. Now the Rambam is saying a very interesting thing. He's saying that what does it mean that there'll be one mitzvah? Since there are so many mitzvahs, there'll be one mitzvah that he does lishma. I mean, what type of a person are we talking about? We're not talking about an Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, everything he does, he was an Oved Me'ava. So we're not talking about even a person that, not talking about a person who has come to such depths and of understanding and is living a life of lishma. He's talking about a pashut person. He's talking about a regular person, right? But he's saying like this. He's saying even a regular person has a perception, a certain sense, even if it's not fully developed. He does have a certain sense just from the yesodos. He has a certain grasp on the reality. The only thing is, the average person also has a lot of emotions, and it's a part of the. It's one of the basic ideas that it's the emotions really that cloud a person's perception of the truth. Like the Rambam calls, like he says, like an emotion is considered is like a veil between your knowledge and between your perception, you and your and the perception of reality. Like he says, like Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest level. He was considered to see through a spaklaria amir, like a very clear glass. But people, but Nevi'im, even on a lower level, that had different, you know, they didn't have, it had not risen to the heights of Moshe. They had to see things through a vision, a marshal, and the Ram says that was because of they lacked the perfection of their midos that Moshe had. And whenever a person has some kind of an emotional outlook on things, emotional attitude, it's always going to it colors their judgment a little bit. It clouds things a little bit, and it really breaks their ability to see clearly what they might really believe, deep down. It's like when Adam engaged in the chait. That's what the Ram explains. He went from being a being who was living in MS, in the world of MS, and he got sucked into the world of Tovara, right? That's what the Ram explains in the beginning of the Mora. We were just discussing this. Then the beginning of the Mora, Ram says that when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, so he said, someone asked him the question. He says, how is it possible that Adam ate, he did a sin, and he got rewarded? That's the question someone asked the Ram. He says, Torah says that after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, it was the tree of knowledge, so he gained knowledge when he ate from the eight. So isn't knowledge? The guy tried to turn the Ram's philosophy on himself. Said, you believe das is the greatest thing. So how did Adam get das from eating from the eight of das? But that was all from a chait. So how is it possible that because of a chait he got the greatest reward of das? Right. So the Ram says this fool thinks he can just pull himself away from his life of taiva and peer into the chumash and come up with the deep question. It says, if you look closely at the pasuk, it says it was the eitz hadas tov vora. It wasn't the eitz hadas. It was the eitz hadas tov vora. So it says it means to say like this, that before the chait, Adam was involved not in tov vora. He didn't have any perception of tov vora. Tov vora is really like the world of the relative. Really like the world of judgment, of social stigma and judgment. So for instance, beforehand, Adam was just in the world of the intellect, reality. Okay? True ideas and recognizing truth and differentiating from falsehood. This is what Ram calls emes v'sheker. And the world of emes v'sheker, you see, there's nothing wrong with being naked, because you wouldn't say it's sheker to be naked. It's just naked. It makes no difference. If a person is purely an intellectual person, why should it make a difference if he's clothed or naked other than his own comfort? So that's why he says, before the chait, lo yisboshu, they were not embarrassed. Well, what's the reason to be embarrassed about? They were only involved in truth. It's not false to be naked, so you know they would be embarrassed if they had a bad idea. If they said something stupid, they would be embarrassed. But what's embarrassing about being naked? It says, but when they ate from the when they gave in to the taiva, and they, okay, that was the eight zahara was bachutz, so they were able to be drawn in. But when they gave in, they really changed. The whole nature then changed. Then the Gemara says it's like eight zahara mibifnim. Then they became a different type of a person. They became a person who is not focused primarily on truth, on differentiating truth and falsehood. But they became involved in the world of the emotions, and the emotions took a very strong hold on them. And in the world of the emotions, you can say it's bad to be naked. In the world of tov hara, the social norms, the physical becomes important, the appearances become important. Now you can say, well, it's bad to be naked. It's embarrassing, whatever it is. But the point, we don't have, you can think about that a little more, what that means. But the point is that once you get involved in the emotions, what I'm trying to get back to is, it's the descent into the realm of the emotions that really clouds your ability to see MS and Checker. It's just like a cloud, it's a veil, it separates you. So that's the way most people are. That's the way most people exist. That we're We can't overcome easily the stresses and demands of the social norms, and that's what our minds are preoccupied with. Most people, their minds are preoccupied constantly. What do people think of them? How are they going to be perceived? And they don't have a chance to really see clearly with just straight intellect. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that the Navi is sometimes called a meshuga, crazy. It says because he does things that are based on a reality that most people see him do, must think he must be crazy because he's not responding. Someone who's crazy means they're responding to stimuli that are not really in existence. You know what I mean? So the average person will see the Navi, and to him it'll seem like he's not responding to, you know, things that are real because he's not concerned with the way he looks. Maybe he's not, he doesn't mind if he's not getting his name first on the the shul list, whatever it is. So he doesn't care about these things. So what the Rambam is saying is like this, that it's the emotions that really break a person from living the true life of the ideas. And in mitzvos too, mitzvos really represent a true form of living. But most people can't really engage the mitzvah properly because they're all wrapped up even in a certain amount of emotions. But there are so many different mitzvos and they have so many different applications and there are so many different possibilities of when and where and how they'll arise, and they hit all different types of a person's psyche, that there has to be one time that one mitzvah is really perfectly in line with the person's ability to perceive the truth, and it doesn't get clouded by any emotions. There has to be something at one time or another that the person, just by all the odds and all the possibilities, that he's relating to it properly, even given his nature. Like some people maybe have an emotion about money, but they're generous with food, or, you know, so when it comes to one case, they'll be able to really give it purely with a good heart and not feel any type of emotional mixture. It'll be one mice that he does me'ava without any shituf matara mi mataros olam hazeh klal. In this one mitzvah, he doesn't perceive any type of social gain. To him, this is just straight. So that's what the Rambam is saying over here, that really, like Ari is saying, when a person lives in action the life of reality, that's truly living like an Adam, and then he's zocha to chai olam haba for that. And if it was only one mitzvah, so it would be hard for, not everybody would be able to engage that in the proper way. But there's so many mitzvahs that cover every aspect of your life. There's going to be one that fits in line with even with everybody's crazy way of thinking. It fits in line and it doesn't conflict and it doesn't cross any emotional lines, and it's just a pure action. So that's what this Mishnah, I think, is explaining. So what we're saying though now is that really, what does it mean? What is this Mishnah highlighting? The fact that it's when a person lives in line and does something in line with reality and actualizes a maisa of Ava, that is zocha to chai olam haba. So what about the original question? Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek l'olam haba. So let me propose to you this solution. I'm not sure. You'll tell me what you think. If I tell you you have a chelek of something, and I tell you you're a zocha to something, I think it has different implications. If I tell you, you'll call Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Liolam Haba, that means to say there's a spot there with your name on it. It's reserved for you. But to say you're Zoche to it, that means you did something that says now you are deserving of it. In other words, you could say that when a person has the Yud Gimel Ikarim, now he is a person who's ro'oi for the for Olam Haba. He has set up a chelek, but until he does something to actualize it, he doesn't have the zechus in it. He doesn't have the ownership in it. It's like you could say to somebody like the Bnei, when they were coming out of Mitzrayim, so they set up and they said, okay, each one of you has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. But you want to be zocha to it? Go and conquer. Go and conquer. It wouldn't do them any good if they all had a chelek in Eretz Yisrael and they sat there in the Midbar. So you can have, there's such a thing to say, okay, every Jew has a chelek there, but now you have to actualize it. In other words, there's a potential, and then there's something you do to really be mashlim it. Yes. What I'm saying is the description, when we say, Kol Yisrael Yishlem Chelek L'Olam Haba, and then we say that there are so many mitzvahs, if you do one, you'll be zocha to it, it means it's a certain description. It's a description of what we're describing, of what we're talking about now. That in a certain way, the completion of Olam Haba requires two things. It requires a person to have a certain amount of das. Okay? Have a certain amount of das. Now he's ro'oi to actualize that. Okay, so the idea of chelek means just these ideas put you into a position that you're ro'oi, you're shayach now to it. But when you do something, now you actualize it. So it could be someone who's a ben umos ha'olam. Avram Avinu was not a Jew, so you can on your own give yourself knowledge and actualize. We're not saying this is the only means to olam haba, right? Hasidim umos ha'olam also have an idea. But
why bother saying Yesh Chelek?
Yesh Chelek is saying that without the proper basis, you can't do a mitzvah lishma.
Why Yisrael?
It's telling you that for a Yisrael, this is the proper basis. That if you have this proper basis, if you have these ideas, you're considered to have the basic framework now that you're roy to engage the mitzvos in a derech that will be a zechus to chayei olam haba. If a person doesn't have, like the Rambam says, like for instance says by shev mitzvah de noach, he says if someone does shev mitzvah de noach just for their own reasons, because they think it's nice, but they don't really think it's coming from an idea of Sheva Mitzvot, they're not considered to be righteous. So if you do the Maisa, but you don't have the proper Kavana, you don't have the proper idea of what you're doing, it's just a counterfeit action. So, I mean, that's what we're going to try to go into next. We're going to start the Maim Tchiyas Amazim, where the Rambam says there were many people who were great chachamim, but they had the ikarim wrong. And everything they're doing that is not going to... It's a different thing. No, so we're saying in theory, in the idea, it's two parts. You have to have the proper ideas and then live it in order to really be Adam Bepoel, to be Adam truly. So the Rambam is saying the ideas of the Yud Gimel Yesodos, those are the ideas that you need to have in order for the one good action to be put in to actualize that the perfection of man. So Kol Yisrael Chelek means now you have the basis, but to be Zocha means now you claimed it. You can have a Chelek somewhere, but you have to claim it.
Can you do a Mitzvah Lishma without the Karma?
No.